Hello and welcome to the Magnetic Woman podcast with me, your host, Pandora Paloma, a visibility and business mastery coach, bringing a unique fusion of strategy meets spirituality to visionary entrepreneurs across the globe. With 20 plus years of communications experience and 5 years running my own online business, I help women in the online space and creative industries get seen and scale to their next level. This has looked like tripling their income in a year, getting fully booked in 6 months, sold out programs, and executing five-figure launches. Personally, I run my own multi six-figure business. And in this podcast, I give you a behind the scenes of how I do this, my life, and my method. If you're a visionary entrepreneur, mover and shaker, and you're ready to meet more of your magnetism, welcome to my world. I am so excited for today's guest on the poddy, Ellie Swift. Someone I love, adore. She's a business coach, mastermind mentor. She mentored and coached me for a long time and completely helped me change the game of my business. And today, Jazz Hands, I've got her on the podcast. So hi, Ellie. Welcome.
Thank you so much for that beautiful intro. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be catching up with you and also to get to have this beautiful conversation. I feel like you've just put all these like amazing topics on the table that I could talk about forever. So I'm here for all of it. I know it's going to be a fun, juicy episode. Just try and shut us up.
Yes, I know. We just had a good catch up beforehand, which I think was much needed. So let me give the listeners, I think, some context first. So we kind of knew that we were going to do this podcast, but you know, it's been some time in the making. And then I recently made the decision to close, or let's say pause, my Magnetic Business Method Mastermind. And I know that you, Ellie, had done the same with one of your containers last year. And it really got me thinking about something we spoke about a lot when we were working together, which was big decisions, like big decisions that we have to make as CEOs, how we make them. And I think, you know, something that we was always so aligned with is like the best decisions are made when we're thinking like long-term goals, long-term vision. So can you first talk to me about, let's talk about decision-making, your process of making that decision specifically, you know, like closing something that I know was bringing in like a huge amount of revenue for you. What happened?
Yeah, so I was running three masterminds at the time. And I know what you're speaking to is when I specifically made the decision to close SwiftMind, which was my mastermind that supported my clients to scale to six figures. So had three masterminds, had an epic seven-figure model through those three masterminds, loved that particular offer, like absolutely loved it. It was really profitable. We had amazing team supporting us to deliver that offer, had amazing clients, had a wait list as long as my arm. Like there was no reason why I needed to close it down. And yet I knew that when I looked at the future direction of my business, there was something that didn't necessarily feel right when I was thinking about, okay, what is the next direction that I wanted to take? And I'd been playing a little bit for a while with this idea of moving into teaching more about masterminds, because as you know, and we'll get onto a little bit more, my whole thing has been that I've built this business from a mastermind model. So started with one, added on these extra two. It was kind of an accident how it happened, but then I felt like I'd stumbled upon this like amazing model of, oh my gosh, why is everyone not doing this? This is such a great way to make money and have time freedom and all these things that I know you are like the biggest advocate for as well. And I knew that I really wanted to look at, okay, well, perhaps this is something that I can actually teach, because no one out there is teaching this. But like all things in business, you're always thinking about, okay, well, I need to trade off time and I need to trade off money when I'm looking at scaling or changing or upgrading. And sometimes we need to leave money on the table for the things that we love to do things that we perhaps love more. And that was very much the decision for me with SwiftMind. I was feeling like it was coming to a completion naturally. I knew I wanted to invest my time focusing on really scaling and supporting people who were at the multi six and seven figure level, purely because there were so many strategies that I could support them with at that stage of business. And instead going, well, let's do that. And then let's teach the mastermind model. There are so many amazing business coaches out there that can support in that scaling to six period. So there were a few things that came to fruition and started to culminate where I was like, you know what, this is absolutely the right time for me to do this. But to the point you made earlier, it was something that required consideration. And it required me sitting down and checking in of, you know, intuitively what's right here, strategically what's right here, you know, what are my options when I do business modeling of possibilities in terms of what I'm going to, you know, invest my time and money in and all of those things. And I think that you're absolutely right in that a lot of the time what we see is that people make rash decisions, especially in the online space. You know, someone launches a program, they're like, oh my gosh, that looks so great. I need to launch that program. Or, you know, someone goes and creates a whole new type of business. They're like, oh my gosh, I need to go and create that type of business. And my decision-making has always been really aligned with what my clients want and need, and also what I want and need, and that perfect intersection of the two. And so that was really how I came to that decision. And it's that combination of strategy plus intuition that really helps me make all the decisions in my business.
Yeah, I think that there's always that really practical, like logical, strategic, okay, what is this going to look like in the business? What does this look like short term? What does it look like long term? And then there's that knowing that, like, totally. You know, that just you have to trust, like self-trust. You know, it's like, this is what I'm being guided to do. This is, maybe it doesn't make sense right now, but this is what I need to do. And then yeah, it's something I felt, you know, for such similar reasons. You know, when it came to the method, it was like, actually, how do I want to serve? You know, like, what's my level now? Like, where am I playing best? Where am I servicing best? Like in the service industry, like what's my delivery? Where's my delivery best? And it was like, actually it's here in this playground, you know, of six and multi-six. So I totally, totally get that. And I think that the decision-making when it's like short-term versus long-term, there's such a, because the online space, I think, is so fast paced, you agree, right? It's like, and this is working. You need this, and this is the secret, and this is this, and this is this. And actually, where can you think about, you know, what's the long term goal here based on who I am, who I want to be, how I want to live? You've obviously made, you know, you've been making many decisions, I'm sure, at the moment with maternity leave coming up. So what does that look like for you? Because I suppose in a sense, it's a mix of both short term and long term, because you got 9 months to think about what that's going to look like. And I know for you there was a long period of, you know, conception, which meant that you've probably been thinking about this for a really long time.
It's so true. You know, I just want to add something on what you said before there. I think that what's really interesting is as you say, like the online space is so dynamic and there's things that are changing all the time. But what I think is so interesting is that if we, like, being strategic doesn't mean that our strategy should change all the time. You know, actually, the people that I look at, yourself included, if I think of all my clients that have created successful businesses, they're the ones who have worked out what their strategy is and they've stuck with it and they've iterated and they've tweaked and they've finessed. And, you know, something that I know was reflected back to me by one of my besties the other day, she was like, you're known for your consistency. And I was like, that's really interesting, because what I actually find is that, honestly, if you look around you at every single seven-figure business owner that you love, what you will likely find is that they have sung from the same strategic songbook again and again and again for years. And so I think it's an illusion that just because the online space is moving at a really rapid rate, we need to quickly change our strategy all the time to keep up with it. We need to tweak tactics. You know, we need to tweak how we're showing up on socials, maybe our messaging, the way that we're saying things. But our strategy, we need to think of our strategy as like a truck versus a tiny little mini. And what I mean by that is that when you've got a truck that's going down the road, the truck, if you want to maneuver it quickly, there are many considerations that you've got to make, right? Like, you got to think about how you're going to turn this baby around. Do you have enough space? And if you think about that as like building a bigger business, that looks like you've got cargo in terms of team and offers and all these things. If you're treating your business like it's a mini, aka it's something that you can just turn around real quick at the drop of a hat, you're never going to be able to build up the infrastructure that keeps you like sustainable, on track, aligned. And so really what happens is if we move too quickly, we end up stunting our growth. So I just really wanted to make that point because I think it's such a fallacy, right? Because we go, oh my gosh, dynamic, fast-paced industry. Absolutely. I so agree with that. And the way that, you know, I feel like is the best way for us to keep up with that is to always make sure that we've got a finger on the pulse in terms of information and AI and the latest marketing strategies and all those things. And always going, well, how does this apply to my strategy? What does it look like in terms of my strategy? Rather than going, I've got to update the strategy at every turn. In terms of maternity leave, this is such an interesting question because, you know, I've been thinking about this so much. I alluded to this before we jumped on and started recording. I've been thinking so much about short-term and long-term decision-making. And honestly, I don't think I've ever come across a time that has been more challenging than a maternity leave period to constantly have to be oscillating between short-term and long-term. And often what I'm finding is that my decision-making is really conflicting and I'm having to choose. I'm going to give you an example. So my virtual assistant, my beautiful virtual assistant, shared with me a couple of weeks ago. So we're about 3 weeks out from 3 months out from maternity leave now. And she shared a couple of weeks ago that she was moving on. She was basically not continuing to work with clients where she was doing lower hours for them because her business has grown, which is fantastic, awesome, you know, really beautiful completion of our relationship. And something that I thought of in that time was, okay, well, I know instantly what the best next hire is if I'm thinking about the next 3 years in the business, but it's a kind of different hire to the person that I need for the next 6 months in the business to move through maternity leave. And so I really had to dance with what that looked like and have a conversation with my business manager, Nivek, who you know and love, and go, okay, what does this actually look like? Like, what's the best option here? And so, you know, I came to a happy medium there, but ultimately I think the key point around that that's so useful to make is when you know, like, what is a smart long-term decision versus what is a smart short-term decision, and you can weigh up the pros and cons of each, like that is smart decision-making rather than just constantly making these like reactive knee-jerk decisions that we see happen so often in the online space.
Yeah, I'm really, really hear that. It's kind of like, oh, that launch didn't work, so I'm just going to do a different offer. Like, that didn't sell, so I'm going to do a different. And it's like, okay, that's where it's like, you know, throwing out your strategy and implementing a new one. It's like, well, why don't we look at the data, look at why it didn't work and what needs optimizing and try it again and see if that works, right? And it's that short-term, long-term, short-term, long-term. It's a lot to be creating new offers all the time. And actually, if you think about it, like our business models and strategies, it's like everything leads to now, you know, two masterminds. How we drive people to that is often changing, but it's still a similar, it's a very similar format. Are we being visible? Yes. You know, is our marketing clear? Yes. You know, are we doing really epic conversion events that have epic value? Yes. Like, that stuff is all the same, right? It's just the shift in maybe the messaging around it or the tweaking of it. Or, you know, I was thinking about when you were speaking earlier of like, you know, the truck and the mini. It's like, you know, you need to show up online, but maybe now versus a year ago, that looks like 6 second reels. You know, totally. It's like, it's the same strategy. You're just refining and tweaking how you're doing it, right?
It's very true. I mean, when I think about, like, I'm upgrading my curriculum at the moment, I haven't upgraded my curriculum for 4 years. I've added, tweaked it, changed it, but I haven't updated my curriculum for 4 years. And yet the tools, the strategies that I'm teaching my clients are very current because I know the strategy that works, that doesn't change, but it's just like the tweaks, the upgrades that change. And, you know, I love about this, we've probably had a conversation about this before where, you know, I do like a trends summary every year of like what's working in 2024. And I used to do that when I worked back in corporate marketing. And honestly, every trend summary that I've read for the last 15 years is like, video is going to be big this year. Authenticity is going to be big this year. And it's like, yeah, like, of course. And it's just a different version of that. So I think, yeah, there's like everything changes and nothing changes.
Yeah. All at once. I love this conversation. So something that I wonder how this came up for you, if it came up for you, mm-hmm. in making that big decision to close, you know, a considerable, a container that brought in a considerable amount of revenue.
Yes.
I wonder what it felt like getting comfortable with the potential that there would be less revenue. Because I know for me, it was like my ego was a little bit like, but if you close that, like what's going to happen revenue wise, you know, are you going to be a multi six figure business? Like I had this real sort of identity exploration. And I wonder whether that happened for you as well.
Something that I really lent into was, you know, when I put money on the table, I know when I put money on the table or leave money on the table for my highest good, and I'm making that decision in a really strategic and intuitive way, I trust that more abundance follows. And when I say I trust that more abundance follows, I mean that both, again, strategically and intuitively. I knew exactly what the strategy was going to look like for me to create the next offer. And intuitively, I also knew that if I let go of something that energetically wasn't serving me as much anymore, that more abundance would follow. And so I think it's always the biggest plight of the entrepreneur or biggest challenge of the entrepreneur that growth has to come through taking some level of risk. I think if every single time you've quantum leapt or grown or up-leveled, evolved in some way, there's been some element of risk. And that is why the entrepreneur life is not for most people. You know, those of you that are listening, you have chosen the path that is least traveled, that is not for everyone, that is going to be challenging at times because you are not like everybody else. And so it's really anchoring into and remembering these things about ourselves and the fact that we chose this path to be people who are constantly choosing discomfort, constantly, you know, stepping outside of the norm and constantly taking risks. And so I find that looking at it in that way and reminding myself of, no, you've got to keep taking risks every time you want to up level. Like there's got to be some sort of breakdown before there's a breakthrough. That just has to happen. And I think the more we do that, ironically, the more comfortable we become with that discomfort. But there just has to be that challenge, that upheaval, that growth edge for us to go to the next level. So I really, really anchored into that.
I always say entrepreneurship's like 50% uncertainty and 50% certainty. Like how comfortable can you get with being uncertain? There's a certain level of things. It's like, I know that if I do this, you know, this will happen. But equally, I know if I do this, I'm not sure what the result will be on the other side. And I've just got to hold myself in the yes that it's going to work out and be in it and tweaking and optimizing to make sure that I, you know, to see the result that I want to see. It's like, it is by nature a really uncertain playing field, right?
Yes, I so agree with that.
So your mastermind model, you really helped me when we first started working together. You know, you sowed a seed of like, you know, it's probably time for you to be coaching sort of that six to multi-six stage. And Expand to Seven was really born from that conversation. So it really changed the game for me. And as you know, I'm so grateful for that process. And I know that for you, the mastermind model, like you've shared, is something that you've really owned. And why do you love it so much? And I'm wondering kind of what doing the training, knowing that you really wanted to teach more, like has done for you personally and has done for the business?
Oh, great question. Okay, so the mastermind model for me, I think the reason why I love it so much is because it was such a natural evolution for me. You know, if we go back in time 4.5 years ago, I was working one-to-one. I was in that situation where I'm sure many of your listeners are right now, like working one-to-one with clients, feel like you're constantly trading time for money. You know, you've maybe left corporate or left working for someone else, and you feel like you're working more than you did when you were working with someone else and have less freedom than you did before, perhaps. And you're like, this is not it. And this scalable situation that everyone's talking about, how do I get that? And there's all this fear around, will my clients leave me? How do I actually scale in a way where I can still, you know, maintain and create these epic results for clients? All of those things that tend to swirl when we think about scaling. And that was really big for me because I was somebody who really prided myself on delivery. And I know we're going to talk a bit about that. And I knew that for me, when it came to scaling, I was so pig-headed about the fact that I was not wanting to scale in a way where I wasn't able to get my clients results or support them to get results. And I felt like I was quite limited because I was like, the stats around online courses are just not doing it for me. I think at the time it was like people, you know, 10% of people were completing online courses without support. And, you know, I was playing with different models and different options. And I remember going, you know, I'm really drawn to this idea of creating a mastermind. And so it was quite an innocent transition. I never went, I'm going to create a mastermind model of business, you know, that hence the organic bit. It was like, let's see what it looks like to transition my one-to-one clients into a mastermind and get to work to create something that I would want to be in. Because also, funny thing was that I myself had never been in a mastermind because I had been looking and looking for a mastermind and I couldn't find one that I wanted to be in. I was like, none of these masterminds seem to tick all the boxes that I want. And so I set to work to basically create this experience that I had been searching the internet for years. And most of my clients came into that experience. And my clients started getting even better results in that container because they had me and then they had all these, you know, incredible peers as well. And then they finished that round and they were like, what's next? And I was like, great question. What is next? And the next tier was born. And before I knew it, I had these 3 different mastermind experiences and, you know, was making 7 figures cash a year in that. And obviously there's, you know, I say that as though it was just like, oh, and then suddenly I was making 7 figures. We know that that's not the story. But ultimately that was the trajectory. And it was about 2.5 to 3 years later that I had my first 7-figure cash year. So that's why I love masterminds so much because it really changed my life and my business in such a big way. And in terms of introducing the training, it was so cool, Pandora, when we launched the mastermind model and I was creating that curriculum because nothing has ever flowed out of me so effortlessly. Like I created that curriculum in 6 weeks and it's my best body of work by far. And it was literally just going, well, here's the business from the last 4.5 years. And here's what I know works, combined with a lot of questions and processes so that you can do the same for your business, you know. So it's not just a like, here's just my whole model. It's like, here's how you can make it yours. And so that was very cool. You know, personally for me, I've just felt so connected to it because it's been just such a You know how it just feels like when it's that organic, it feels like there's something here that was meant for me. The fact that it came to me on a beach, you know, summer last year, and I was like, why is no one teaching about how to run masterminds? And it was like, because it's supposed to be you, girlfriend, like, because it's supposed to be you doing that. So that's really what it's done for me personally. And in terms of what it's done for the business, we've now had over 100 people come through it and we've just run it for 2 rounds. So we only launched it in April 2023. So it's not been running for that long. We're about to launch it again in April 2024. And we have had the most insane results, like insane, amazing client results. We've had 2 6-figure launches. So It's already something that's generated close to 300K in revenue. It's been incredible. And I feel like we're just at the start with the possibilities and potential of this program. I've got a lot of plans post-mat leave for how I really want to leverage and scale it and grow it and create a lot of partnerships with it. So there's a lot to come there.
Incredible, incredible. I love that so much. And you're talking like it just flowed out of me. I just recently created something called the Live Launch Method, and it feels like the same. It's like I am typically known for the like live launching, and we're now implementing like a lot more funnels in the back end of the business. So, you know, that's been a beautiful learning process, but it's just flowed. And I'm like, this is amazing. And there's something in that, and you'll know this as a coach and, you know, then a teacher, there's a real simplicity that comes with like, here's the training, here's this piece, and here's this element and this element. And if you do all of these things, then you're building your own formula and way of doing it. Whereas in coaching, you know, of course there's like deeper support. There's, you know, we're going into each element in a deeper way. You know, we're working with mindset and, you know, the energetics and the embodiment piece, but I love that sometimes I'm this piece here and it's super intimate with my clients and it's deep and I'm really holding them in all of the things. And then over here, it's like, boom, 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 you know, this is what you need to do. Yeah.
I feel like you and I have always had like conversations where we both truly understand each other around like strategy meets intuition and spirituality. And so I just hear you on such a deep level around that, because it's like, yeah, the coaching is where you basically get to just delve so fully into that person and like intuitively extract their magic. And then the curriculum piece is like, and here's the exact six step strategy that's going to support you to do that. And it's like, take both and you're going to roll with this and everything's going to work out for you, girlfriend. Like, enjoy. Yes.
See you on the six multi six figure side. Yeah, it's like...
exactly.
And that, I think, leads me really nicely onto something I did want to touch on, which is like putting the service in service. You know, one of the easiest ways that you'll scale your business, and I'm really seeing this, I'd say I've really seen this more in the last 2 years, where, you know, my client retention rate is so high, and I know that you have the same. And it's like, it's actually so simple. Like, my clients see such good results. Your clients see such good results. You really care. There's so much integrity that by the time they get to the end of that 6 month or year round, it's like, yeah, I want to stay. You know, like that's the one of the easiest ways that you can scale your business, because ultimately there's no launching involved. There's no nothing involved. It's just simply servicing your clients. So tell me how you have prioritized, you know, the service in service and what that looks like for you.
Yeah, such a great question. You know, so my background is agency, as I know, you know, so much of yours is as well. And when I was working in agency, I worked client side, I worked in client services. I feel like my foray into my business was about delivering great service. Like, that was just my introduction to the working world, was like, you deliver a great service. And because I was doing that working for somebody else, I was thinking less about business and just more about client delivery and service. And so I had this very ingrained, like, serve the client and all is well mentality. And so, you know, I could absolutely say, oh, I just know that that's the key to business. But I do believe that there's an experience piece and a background piece of that was just my foray into the working world. And that definitely supported me there. And then that continued with me as I went into business, and it just always felt so obvious to me of, well, when you do a great job, clients stick around. And if I combine that with the fact that I'm a very loyal Virgo by nature, as you know, when you come into my world, like, I think about all the relationships I have in my life, like, I don't have many clients, current or past, that I don't have great relationships with still. Like, that's just not really how I roll. Same with friendships, family. Like, obviously there's people that you don't gel with or that come and go in seasons or whatever, but, you know, I love long-term relationships. And so I always naturally was very drawn towards depth and longevity in terms of the way I worked with clients. And so because of that, I think in terms of service, I was always very drawn towards, well, let's look at how we can create extended lifetime customer value. So LVC referring to LCV rather, referring to, you know, how long a client stays with you. What does it look like to create that? What does it look like to create an exceptional client experience? Because when you do that, your marketing is so much easier, as you said before. You know, you don't need to sell as much. You know, there are so many people I see spending so much time in the sales process. And the reason it probably feels harder than it needs to is because you're not spending enough time in terms of creating a really great offer or serving your clients really well or creating an experience where you've got these amazing results that make it a natural yes for people to want to join you. So I really think that the online space is prioritizing a lot of falsehoods around where we should be spending most of our time. And, you know, add to that that it's going to make you enjoy your work more. Like if you are focused on your offer, if you are focused on your product, if you are focused on creating product market fit, so always honing and refining your products so that it fits your market really specifically, then you're always going to have something that is raved about, is retention generating, is something that people want. So, you know, when it comes to standing out in the market, it's a conversation that we're not having enough, that actually it really starts with your offer, starts with creating something that's exceptional, and looking at how you can hone and refine and tweak that over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. There's no point in like focusing on lead generation if actually the offer that you have isn't getting results. You know, it's like, is it getting the best results? If it's not getting the best results, how do we optimize it? You know, I think that, like you were just saying, you're updating your curriculum. I think that that's a given, that every couple of years, you know, it's like we need to be optimizing and tweaking and ultimately, you know, creating trainings and services that are going to support people in real time, you know? Yeah.
Coming back to what we were talking about before with this being a dynamic industry, you know, we can't set and forget. We need to be looking at how we can optimize. So true. And, you know, that is something that is just so incredibly key. When I think about both of my curriculums, both in my masterminds themselves and in the mastermind model where I teach how to run masterminds, in both of those programs, I start with the offer first. And I start with doing really great market research and creating an offer that is market tested and has product market fit and all of those things, because that is more important than starting with your marketing and sales. And I say this as somebody who is a marketer and a sales gal. You know, everything starts with offer. And when you spend more time there, you're actually going to save yourself so much time in the marketing and sales process. And ironically, it's one of those things where, you know, if you're somebody who loves watching what other people are doing, this is usually the thing you won't see. You know, if you follow people's funnels, which so many of us do, so many of you that are listening, I know you do this, I do it too. You know, we download freebies and we go through the funnels of specific people and we look at what they're doing. And that's really great. And you're going to learn a lot from that, but you don't see the most important things. You don't see the process they went through to create that offer. You don't see the conversations that they have with their clients to work out the exact messaging that they should use, and therefore the process, strategic process they went through to message at every stage of that. So all of the most important things you're not seeing on the front end.
And you don't see what that looks and feels like being in that person's world. We've been doing some generating feedback forms for the next launch of Tea and Expand. And the words that come through so much from my clients is like, I feel so safe and supported in your container. I feel so safe and supported. And I'm like, oh, it's like, I want to bottle that up, because that you can't get that from my Instagram or my newsletters or my Substack. Like, you can't get that. And, you know, I'm saying that and you're nodding because I felt that with you. I was like, you are just so, do you remember? I was like, there's no BS with you. It's like, I feel safe. You're solid. You're grounded. You know, it's that, like, you can't access that until you're in that person's world. And yeah.
It's so true. And what you're describing is leadership, you know, like that is leadership, right? And if you want to be a really great coach or mentor or consultant or whatever business owner that perhaps leads others creating that safety is so key. I mean, that's like, I'm segueing. That's a whole long conversation. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I feel like it sort of leads nicely onto the final topic that I wanted
to
speak to.
I love that. I love that you did that.
It kind of does, doesn't it? So I said to Ellie earlier, I was like, you know, she's moved into a podcast, is now Scalable Freedom. And I said, you know, really wanted to touch on the subject of freedom because I think that there's a lot of, again, lots of talk, you know, in the industry about like, let's create freedom-based businesses. And I think that absolutely I would consider myself someone, freedom's one of my biggest values, right? Freedom and adventure, which like is drilled down into like the car that I drive. Like I've got a soft top because I love driving a convertible because it makes me feel like I've got loads of freedom when I'm driving. Like literally I live and breathe freedom. However, I have responsibility, you have responsibility, you know, and I think that there can be this sort of illusion that like, I've got so much freedom in my life. And it's like, I have freedom in my life and my business, but it's quite contained in the sense that I also am contracted with my clients and want to be in service. So I would love for you to give me your take on that and, you know, what scalable freedom means for you, but also we've always, you know, spoken to that of like, there is also a level of responsibility that is just required to run a multi-six, seven-figure business.
Two things that come up for me are two points I want to make. The first, I'll talk about that freedom piece and then I want to talk about the scalable piece. So the way I think about freedom, recently I saw, just to share an example of something to illustrate a point, recently I saw a woman that I love who has a really great business. You know, she's a peer, just someone whose work I really love. She shared a picture of her calendar and she had absolutely no calls in her calendar. And she was like, this is freedom to me. And I know that she has burnt down another business model and created a new business model where she could, you know, have and create this. And I looked at that empty calendar and you know what my response was? Like my visceral response was, that looks so shit to me. That looks so boring to me. That looks not exciting to me. That looks, where do I satisfy my connection? Where do I get to like, you know, serve and coach and do the things that I love in my business in that? I can't. And the reason why I share and articulate this is not to demonize that, because there might be people listening who are like, I love the idea of having absolutely no calls in my calendar. But I would implore you to ask yourself, is that actually true for you? Here's what I think we're doing. We almost are doing this knee-jerk thing where, you know, we think about society, we think about maybe where we've come from in terms of having had the corporate job, having been told where we have to be and at what time and all those things. And the knee-jerk response is to want to go so far the other way. And we view freedom as being the thing that is the absolute antithesis of that. But if we actually sit with all of our values and what freedom truly means to us, I would guesstimate that for many people listening, it is not going to necessarily be that. So freedom to me, as an example, you know, I'm pregnant right now, as we've been talking about. I'm about to welcome my first baby into the world in 3 months' time. And when I think about what freedom looks like to me in this next season of my life, it is doing incredible work that I've been doing with smart women. Like freedom to me is getting to run this business that I love being in so much and getting to do it at home where I get to be with my baby girl as well and live out that messy, imperfect duality of lots of time with my baby and lots of time in my business and dancing between that and taking care of myself, you know, in the process. And the mums that are listening and going, girlfriend, it's messy. Like, I see that. I know that. I'm excited for that, you know? Yeah. So that's what freedom looks like to me when I think about, you know, this next stage of my life. It looks like, you know, my husband and I juggling between us so that we get to do work we love, so that we get to parent in a way that we love, so that we get to serve, you know, ourselves and one another and it's a big, beautiful, full life to me. Like, that is freedom. It's travel when I want and having the house of my dreams that I've, you know, bought. So I'm so clear on that is what freedom looks like to me. And you'll notice that I spoke about freedom to me looks like serving these amazing clients. You know, freedom to me is getting to sit here with you at 5 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon when people are leaving their corporate jobs in the city half an hour away from where I live, getting into peak hour traffic and coming home. And I get to sit here and talk to you and have these types of conversations. Like, name something more freeing than that.
Yeah.
I would rather have this type of stimulating conversation than personally I would just sitting on a beach with a pina colada on my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a check-in, right? And then I just want to speak to the scalable piece as well. I feel like, that, again, we could talk about this forever. The scalable piece and the reason why I created this concept of scalable freedom was I started getting real sick of the freedom messaging that had it flipped. So I was seeing so many people kind of going, I am going to create a freedom-based business. And they go freedom-based first, business second. Whereas actually, if you go, I'm going to create something scalable first, the freedom comes as a byproduct of that. So if you focus on scale, you will get freedom. If you focus on freedom-based business, you will get a business that probably doesn't have freedom. So, you know, when you focus on building something that is scalable, the byproduct of that is creating freedom. And, you know, I get to work 20 hours a week. I get to do all of those things. And I also get this absolute privilege of being able to work with women like yourself.
Yeah, I just so agree on every single level of my being with this. Like, this fuels me. It's so deeply fulfilling. That's what freedom feels like. And, you know, but there are those boundaries within that that I think we, you know, we get to speak to, because that's the truth of it. And going into parenthood, it's like, of course, like, you know, there's a level of freedom in my life. There's also a level of responsibility. You know, I do have to be up at a certain time because she has to be at school at a certain time. And that there's a there's a frequency that I do that in that feels freeing, you know?
Yes, yes. Right. It's like how, you know, I will have a call with a client and then I'll jump in my pool and float around for an hour and like both get to be true. But like that duality is life, like that seasonality, that duality, that dance, like that is so freeing.
Yeah. Oh, I loved this conversation. I've loved this conversation. Final question. What does being a magnetic woman mean to you?
Okay. I'm going to stick on theme here. I truly believe that the most magnetic women are women who are really self-assured in the way that they can combine their intuitive knowing and embodied sense of knowing with their strategic, inquisitive, free-thinking brain. You know, like that combination of being somebody who is both deeply intuitive and, you know, smart and strategic, and then present with you with both of those things. I feel like I could answer that in so many different ways, but I feel like that's a really strong theme that we've played with a whole bunch today. And I really do believe that if you do both of those things, you will certainly be a magnetic businesswoman. So I think that would be something that's probably useful for your listeners to take away.
Love it. Strategy meets spirituality forever.
Forever.
Oh, thank you so much. Where can people find you?
Okay, well, if you're here, you obviously love podcasts. People should come over and check out the episode that you and I did on the Scalable Freedom Show. It was called Shine Online with Ellie Swift previously, but it's all been updated to the Scalable Freedom Show. So if you search the Scalable Freedom Show and you search Pandora's name, you'll be able to hear Pandora speak about the three masterminds and your mastermind model that you built. So come on over to that podcast. And then the best way to find me outside of that is on Instagram. Come on over to Ellie H. Swift. I'm sure when this is being released, there will be something epic and free around this time if you are interested in masterminds. So definitely come on over and check that out, because I'll be talking a whole bunch about that over the coming weeks and months.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Loved having you.
Oh, loved being here. I love you.
Love you too.